The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews explores the question of how Nazi Germany was able to kill 11 million people.
They thought they were boarding rail cars to go to jobs. And if 10% of that country can take that nation into darkness, certainly 10% of us doing something can take this country into what our founding fathers intended.
Why the truth matters more than you think. Next.
Thank you. You're great. We've got a wonderful guest today. Andy Andrews is with us. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to welcome you to Life Today. Now, you think about the title. Andy's written several bestsellers. It's fabulous. You may remember we actually gave you the butterfly effect to show you that a butterfly, just his little wings in motion, can start and create a storm, a hurricane. There's that much energy, potentially, even in the wings of a butterfly. And it's amazing how much influence little things and people who think they're pretty small can have. I think it is by divine providence, by the direction of God that Andy follows, that small book. Matter of fact, this one's a little bit deeper. You have to read a little longer than the butterfly thing. You didn't have quite as many pictures as the butterfly. But this is absolutely so important that I beg you to read it, and to get others to read it. And people who say, well, I don't read much. Well, you won't have to read long. How does that help? It won't take long, but it will change your thinking, and it could change our nation. Would you welcome the author of How Do You Kill 11 Million People, Andy Andrews, to Life Today? Andy, thank you, buddy. Why the truth matters more than you think. That in many ways probably is really the heart of the book.
It is.
Powerful.
It is. It's an odd title, and I will confess to you that when I was writing it, I was going through an airport and the TSA security lady picked up the manuscript that had How Do You Kill 11 Million People on it, and it freaked her out for a minute. I had to tell her, no, really, I'm an author. I'm not a very good one, but I'm an author.
But that did scare security.
But, you know, this book has been a long time coming for me, and I was talking with Randy, your son, earlier, and I was telling him it was odd to me that two questions paralleled each other for years to intersect and make this book happen. I really believe that when we are seeking wisdom, the quality of our answers can only be determined by the quality of our questions. Ask good questions, you get good answers. And one question that I asked, knowing that our country seemed to just be getting meaner and meaner, and I would watch this argument between political ideals, I'd watch the Republicans and Democrats argue, and they yell at each other, and I don't know if anybody ever changed anybody's mind.
Yeah.
And so
you get to where you don't like either one of them.
Exactly.
Don't like any candidate. You don't like either party. And you know what happens is that's when you get back in the place where you can be easily deceived.
That's exactly right.
And you're
right.
Either deceived into doing the wrong thing and believing the wrong thing or doing nothing.
They
and
do
a lot
nothing.
Of good people doing nothing right now.
And doing
which
nothing
one of the
is
biggest
the wrong
mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I asked this question. I thought, can I write something that only takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes for people to read the entire thing? It doesn't say Republican or Democrat, doesn't say liberal or conservative, and yet every single person who reads it would agree with it. Now, I wasn't really sure that had an answer, to be honest with you. Now, meantime, I'm asking another question. I'm very curious about history. And so for years, I've read odd history to try to go down rabbit trails and find things that reveal principles that we can learn from. Well, something really always, I never could figure out about the Holocaust. I would watch movies about this time, and I would see documentaries or read books, and I would see relatively few Nazi guards loading tens of thousands of people onto rail cars. And I would always think, why don't they just rush them? Why don't they fight? Why don't they run? They couldn't possibly kill them all. And so when I figured out the answer to this, it was stunning, mm-hmm. because the answer reveals a method that a lot of politicians still use today to achieve various goals. How do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them.
Mm-hmm. And so, and you tell them what you believe they want to hear, or you know they want to hear, when it's actually the furthest thing from the truth.
Right.
And you convince them.
And that word, that truth, well, that turns out to be the one thing we all agree on. Because you could walk outside, and I don't care how old anybody is, what income bracket, what color, what gender, and you say to them, do you think it's okay for politicians to lie to us, or should they tell us the truth? Every single person you talk to say, oh, they should tell us the truth. So that turns out to be one piece of common ground. Now, let me tell you something funny. There's an old story about a psychiatrist who had a patient who thought he was a corpse. And every week, this guy would come in, and the psychiatrist would try to explain to him and convince him that he wasn't a corpse. The guy wasn't having any of it. One day, the psychiatrist had an idea, and he said to the guy, he said, I've got a question for you. Do corpses bleed? And the guy said, no, we do not. All our bodily functions have ceased. And so the guy took a needle out of his desk drawer, stuck him in the finger, squeezed it, said, what do you think about that? And the guy said, I'll be. Corpses do bleed. So here's the point. Anytime we directly confront what somebody absolutely believes, for whatever reason, maybe their daddy told them that, maybe their TV commentator told them that, but anytime we directly confront what somebody believes, it's a waste of time. But if we can find one thing we agree on, that is the essence of influence. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is influence other people to search for the truth. Mm-hmm. Frankly, that's why I created this cheap little book. I mean, it is cheap, and you know, I tell people, go in the bookstore and just read it in the bookstore, you know? because it'll save you a trip, because you're going to want to get several of them to give to Uncle Charles and Aunt Martha and these people you couldn't possibly have a political conversation with.
Yeah, I couldn't get to read a long book. Andy, I feel like you wrote The Butterfly Effect to show everybody they could have influence. I feel like you wrote this book with the hope that everybody would decide to utilize the influence and the potential they have. Am I right?
You're exactly right. You know, when I began to examine what really happened, because I thought, okay, they lied to them. There was a policy of lies that the Nazis used to tell the Jews. You know, they told them things that allowed these people to think they were safe. They thought they were boarding rail cars to go to jobs, mm-hmm. to go to, their kids would be in schools. They thought the journey would be short, we're going to be crowded. And so they voluntarily, I mean, the Nazis even told them, keep your families together. And so they lied to them. But if you back it up and realize that there was a policy of lies in place that started the whole ball rolling. You know, people forget. People think that Hitler took over. He didn't take over. He was elected. Mm-hmm. Germany was a democracy. Hitler was elected. And he, after some bad economic times, he convinced his Congress to give him emergency powers. And he created a law called the Law for the Protection of the People. Mm-hmm. And look, this thing, here's the craziest part of it. Did you know that during that time, there were 79.7 million members of Germany, the population, mm-hmm. 80 million people. And at no time did the Nazi Party have more than 8.5 million members. Literally 10% of this country took that entire thing into a nightmare, while 90% just kind of sat around and said, well, that'll never happen here. Well, that's not what he said. You know, well, that's not going to happen. And see, now here's the kicker. Right now, there has not been a single presidential election in the past 25 years that has been won by more than 10 million votes. Every one of them have been that close. And yet, in the past 25 years, there's not been a single presidential election in which fewer than 100 million people of voting age did not vote. Of that 100 million people of voting age, 65 million identify themselves as Christians.
didn't vote. Did you understand that? Didn't choose to choose. They just got what was put on them. Didn't choose to make a difference. Christians who are supposed to be a light. We hide the light of influence in our own little comfort zone.
Right.
And darkness prevails in the land in the name of freedom and helping people and getting us in trouble. Now, Betty, you read the book. I'm looking over here. You got it all highlighted. And I've got mine dog-eared and highlighted. I'm telling you, you'll do the same thing. And I want to address some of this thing. What is it you...
This just really jumped out at me. How fortunate for leaders, Hitler said to his inner circle, that men don't think. Make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they'll believe it.
And that obviously rings true today. We see that with our vision of what God intended for our country. We see that with our finances, with our economic system. We see that with the babies who are being aborted. I mean, we see that with everything. It is all based on lies that people tell and receive.
Talk a minute about, because you talk in here about what Hitler said, it's important to have the large groups rather than a few people to tell a lie to.
He wrote in Mein Kampf, he said, the largest group of the people will more easily believe a big lie than they will a little lie. And he wrote that in Mein Kampf. Now, Mein Kampf was widely read by the German people at the time, and they believed him anyway. Or at the most, they ignored him. Literally, mothers and fathers and workers accepted their salaries, said this won't happen here, and they literally covered their eyes watching a serpent waiting to strike until it did. So I want people to understand it's time to wake up. Now, there's good news here. There's good news here to me because that 100 million, I mean, I look at those people. Those are not 100 million people who are against us, who don't believe like we believe. That's just 100 million undecideds, right? And if 10% of that country can take that nation into darkness, certainly 10% of us doing something can take this country into what our founding fathers intended.
Well, you know, what we point out in the book, Indivisible, is that we need to restore faith, family, and freedom before it's too late. But we also make it clear, and I've made it absolutely clear, and will continue to, the only group, the only identifiable groups that can make the correct course correction, point us in the right direction, are people who understand the value and importance of faith, family, and freedom.
Right.
And I promise you, the people who are against faith, against God, against what our founders believed, against our basic foundational principles, the people against it, from all different groups, they're all together. They're all marching together. And all the people who claim to believe in the importance of faith, family, and freedom, stay home, sit out, while these 545 people run everything for us. You wanted me to show how it breaks down. The 545 men, women who enact every law, propose every budget, and set every policy enforced on the citizens of the United States of America, one president, 9 Supreme Court justices, 100 senators, and 435 members of the House of Representatives. Those people run the country or ruin the country, but they're doing it with our approval.
Right.
And this has to change, and it has to change soon. To me, that's what you're trying to say.
Absolutely.
I don't believe we're going to kill 11 million people. I think we're going to destroy tens of millions of jobs and opportunities,
right.
And I think we're going to prevent the most blessed, benevolent nation in history to become so crippled that we'll just be hanging on for survival in the face of all the decisions that are crippling us and making us ineffective and no longer prosperous so that we can't assist anybody, including our own neighbors and our own families.
Right.
That's where we're headed.
And, the 545 people, I want to make it clear to everybody, the last census shows that there are 311 million people in America. So, to be clear, that's 311 million of us and 545 of them. You'd think we could do something, right?
Can I just say something? I believe we not only must do something,
I believe we're going to do something, which is one of the reasons God led you to write this book. God led me, along with Jay Richards, to write Indivisible. And you went through the man. This is the bound manuscript of it that he got in real small font, and I can't.
I wore out a highlighter on this book. I mean, I feel like my book is like a little. Is an introduction to your book. Let's put it this way. You know, I got this book on the road. I have gone through this. I'm going home tomorrow. And, you know, having been married 23 years, I have to be very careful on what I require my wife to do. But this one's going to be required reading in my house, okay? Because this allowed me to understand some things in a way that I could explain them. You know, there were things that I knew that my spirit rebelled against, that America's doing, and I knew that there were some things that we had to do, but I couldn't explain them in a way that would make sense to other people. I got to tell you, I've read a lot of books. I read a lot, and I started to say I don't know if, but I actually know. I have never read a book about spirituality and politics, never read a book that I got to the end of it, and I thought, I agree with every single thing was in that book. This book, and, you know, no offense, James, but nobody is smart enough to write a book like this. And so that's why I know the Holy Spirit was involved in this book from the very beginning. You and Jay Richards, I've never met him, but boy.
He's a gift from God. Jay's a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. That's miracle number one. And we love God and love one another. And we're going to see God do something great. I can't tell you how much it means. I find myself wanting to weep with gratitude to God, because this is a gift to you. It's a gift to our country. And this is too. I really plead with you to get people to read both books. Betty, did you want to say something else about it?
No, we don't have time for me. I could probably sit here and read the whole book to you.
Well, you could. I know you did to me.
Please,
you read me parts I'd already read.
I did. Please get it, because I think it's time for us as Christians to wake up and look outside our windows that we have darkened because we don't want to see. But clear the window. It's important for our future, for our children's future, for our grandchildren. Please get this book and read it. It won't take very long, but it will change your life.
And we'll also today, it's in the bookstores, encourage your friends to get it. We will send this along with Indivisible for any gift you make. If you will simply do this, I want you to watch, and I want you to meet a need. I want you to help us rescue precious children and women from the sex traffic, literal bondage in the sex trade. I want you to help us, if you would, build a life center to rescue people from the sex trade in an impoverished area in Nepal. This is where many of them are taken captive into this trade. It is the second largest business in the world, the illegal sex trade. Help us. I want you to watch. I want you to listen. But if you'll help, we want to bless you with these books. But we want you to bless someone's life by setting them free. I believe God will help set our country free and get the whole world back to real freedom. But let's rescue precious lives. Watch this.
As night falls in this Indian city, the clamoring sounds and shadowy figures of men in the darkness cause Sunita to become extremely uncomfortable. It is a reminder of the times in her childhood when everything around her was dark and despairing. Now, she can hardly raise her head because of the shame and crushing guilt she feels from her past. Forced into the sex slave trade by a mother who considered her a commodity, a way to earn money, Sunita was helpless and had nowhere to turn. After 4 years of torment and abuse by older men, Sunita, as a teenager, ran away and married a young man who she thought she could trust. But she found herself once again trapped in the sex slave trade by a husband who had deceived her and became her trafficker. After severe beatings and emotional abuse, Sunita became so sick she could not service any more men. Enraged by this, her husband threw alcohol on her and set her on fire. Sunita suffered severe burns from her stomach down to her legs, and she almost died. When asked how she now feels, Sunita simply replies, "I am happy to be alive."
I just want to cry out to God, asking for forgiveness for how His beautiful gift has been so idolized, and not only such a distraction, but so destructive to relationships and to lives. God, forgive. All that goes on is so horrible. But Lord, please give us the grace to help these people who are held captive. You know, I'm praying for anyone that's held captive by the desire to use these who've been trafficked and little children. What a horrible bondage. We pray for those who are trapped by the addiction. But we can, and you know, we can only offer the delivering power of God to these people, and we do and we will. But we can free these slaves that are held captive by just making a way out, by rescuing them and restoring them. And that's what we're asking you to do. Betty and I always look forward to participating in every one of our outreaches because we believe so strongly in what God has called us to do. Here's very specifically what I'd like to ask you to do. Dial the phone number. If you needed someone to pray with you, it's always there. Someone who cares will pray for you and with you. And it's paid for by love. But would you dial the number today and say, "I want to rescue someone"? It takes $128 to rescue someone. That's the cost. That's what it takes. That's what it takes with the mission workers we work with. That's what it takes oftentimes to keep them in a place of care. As a matter of fact, we're asking you to help us build a life center in Nepal, which is one of the areas where more are recruited than you could ever imagine out of the impoverished children and taken as slaves. We want to build a beautiful life center there. And in my opinion, it's a meager cost of $225,000 because the labor and material is very inexpensive. But we're going to be able to impact hundreds and hundreds of precious children, change their lives, give them a future. $128 is what it takes to rescue one person. We need $225,000 to build a life center. We're asking you to pray about giving $1,000 or more toward that if you can help with the life center. We're going to send you the beautiful bronze of the Lion and the Lamb to say thank you. And I want to remind you that your gift will be matched. Whatever you give will be matched because someone else has said, "I believe so much in the importance of this that whatever someone does, I'll match it." That means even $64 will be matched and doubled to be $128. So at whatever level you can participate, please don't think it's unimportant. We are asking for large gifts for the Life Center. I'm praying, Father, that somebody give $10,000. I just feel impressed someone can do that. And it may be that you could give several thousand, or you give $1,000, but we need the $225,000. We've got a short period of time in which we need to raise the funds to build the Life Center in Nepal. And then remember, $128, you make that gift, you'll actually be rescuing two. If you say, "James, I can't do that," $64, someone will match it and we've rescued another one. Whatever you can do, use your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. If you do write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. You can go online, lifetoday.org. Please, please put arms of love around these desperately needy children and the women that are already trapped, and we can help them get out and have a new life. These women are being put to work making beautiful beads. Gazelle, a former fashion model and our partner there, has given these women a beautiful place to work and given them something to do. And we're going to send you one of these to say thank you if you help us rescue one of these precious lives, along with the book, Indivisible. Thank you for making the call.
human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Now, I do want to remind you, as I say thank you along with Betty for your help, you will be receiving Indivisible. Encourage your friends, your pastors, your leaders, business owners, get Indivisible. Get their employees reading it. And we'll also today, it's in the bookstores, encourage your friends to get it. We will send this along with Indivisible for any gift you make to help us rescue these people from the sex traffic. Would you join Betty and me saying thanks to Andy Andrews? Andy, I sure appreciate it. Thank you for that. Love you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the kind comments on Indivisible. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for watching. Thank you for enabling us to do what God called us to do.
Accomplish much of anything in this world without money.
Tomorrow, successful entrepreneur and business executive Buddy Pilgrim reveals the truth about money. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.